In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the octave day of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. Recall that on her feast day, we spoke of how her Immaculate Conception helps us conquer modern errors. Most notably, we noted evolution. How can Adam come from apes? How could he be immaculately conceived? Because that would be what would be required if he was conceived in the womb of an ape. When there's only one Immaculate Conception, it doesn't work. Today, I would like to provide the same conclusions, namely that evolution is nothing but a fable, a doctrine of devils. But this time, we will use the doctrine of the universal and absolute primacy of our Lord Jesus Christ that we discussed leading up to the Immaculate Conception. Now, to begin with, consider these profound words of St. Lawrence of Brindisi, Doctor of the Church. He writes, "Christ was willed as a foundation in such a way that if the edifice to be built on him should ever need repairs, the reparation could be carried out on the same foundation without any change in the divine blueprint." Wow. Thank you, St. Lawrence. Christ is the foundation on which the edifice is built. And if repairs are needed, we still have the foundation. So part of the primacy of our Lord Jesus Christ is recognizing that He is the exemplar cause of all creation. All creation is summed up in Him, and He is the model of all things created. That's what it means to be the exemplar cause. He's the model. He is the microcosmos of the whole cosmos. The angelic beings find themselves in His intellect and in His will. The animals find themselves in His sensate or sensible soul. The vegetables find themselves in His nutritive or vegetative soul. Minerals in His bones. Humans find themselves modeled after Him directly. And this is why many ancient icons have Jesus making Adam, as it were. He's right there. He's in the picture, fully alive, fully man, and then they're making Adam. Adam is made in the image of Christ. That's what the icon is saying. Not just spiritually, but even physically. Using the writings of many fathers like St. Jerome, Hilary, Cyril, and Theodoret, St. Lawrence explains that man is made in the image of Christ, who is both God and man. According to him, image refers to Christ even as a man, saying, "Christ himself was the archetype of human nature." Christ is the prototype, the archetype of human nature. St. Lawrence goes on. He says, "Christ was first predetermined in the divine mind. As the psalm says, 'In the head of the book it is written of me.' Because he is the firstborn of every creature. However, the Christ was determined not according to divine nature, but human nature. Because the divine mind, before everything else, conceived the form that the Word to be incarnate would receive." Remember, the primacy of Christ is the first thought out of God's mind. First thing to be willed is the Christ, so that He will be perfectly known, perfectly loved in this world. St. Lawrence goes on, "God then created the first man, Adam, in the image and likeness of that form of the would-be incarnate Word of God. Accordingly, Scripture says that in the image of God, namely of the incarnation, that is Christ who is God, He created him." Genesis 1:27. "Therefore," Lawrence goes on, God created man in the image of God the Christ, namely in that form and figure which had been predetermined for the Christ, the Son of God, before the formation of all the creatures, whom St. Paul calls the firstborn of every creature, and whom were created all things. And St. Paul also says elsewhere that he is the firstborn of many brothers, and the first among them is Adam. For us, this means simply that we must always seek total conformity, total maturity, total conformity and uniformity with Christ. In the spiritual life, it means that we cannot bypass Christ's humanity. Our Holy Mother, St. Teresa, she greatly stressed that point. You cannot bypass the humanity of Jesus Christ. Anyone who proposes something different is in error. The Protestants think they can go straight to the Father. The Pentecostals think they can go straight to the Holy Spirit. They always want to bypass Jesus Christ and his human nature. Why? Because his human nature was nailed to a cross on Calvary, and it stands at the very center of creation. Everybody wants to kind of bypass that Calvary business. But it also means this: man did not come from the lower species. His image is from Christ. And that's why I say it's blasphemous to say that we came from lower species. This is also why the various ancient icons representing creation always have Christ present for every day of creation. What does the psalm say? One of the most important of all the psalms, Psalm 109. It says, "From the womb, before the day star, I begot thee." From the womb, you were first conceived, before everything else came to be. Now we are in a position to present the most powerful argument there is against any and all evolution. Now remember, the most powerful arguments are the most simple. And this is why the sinful man rejects them so readily. But those who have faith see it, and it's there and undeniable. Here it is. If there is no evolution in Christ, then evolution cannot exist. He is the exemplar cause of all creation. If it cannot be found in him, it cannot be part of creation. It cannot be part of this world. And the scriptures say plainly enough in Hebrews, St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, Jesus Christ yesterday and today and the same forever. Do not be led away with various and strange doctrines. Among them we could list evolution in all its forms. Same yesterday, today, forever. No evolution present here. Then it's not possible. Period. Thus, the evolutionists fall into the same trap that the sinful Israelites fell into so long ago in the desert. In Psalm 105, we hear, they made a calf in Horeb, and they adored the graven thing. They changed their glory into the likeness of a calf that eateth grass. What glory is this? The glory of being made in the image and likeness of Christ. They sacrificed it. They threw it out. And they said, we're not made in the image of God, in the image of Christ. We're made in the image of beasts. And so they made a beast their God. There is some equality between us, some likeness, some image. And they became like beasts. And they started to do what beasts do. Get up, eat, drink, and play. Committed all kinds of sins. Not that beasts can sin. Man can sin. but acting like the beast, eating and drinking at will, not controlling themselves, leads to greater sins. They got up and played, which is a euphemism for all kinds of sins against the sixth commandment. They became beasts. St. Paul tells us our goal is to become another Christ, to reach the full stature of Christ, to restore all things in Christ. Listen to his letter to the Ephesians. Until we all meet into the unity of faith and of the foreknowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the age of the fullness of Christ, the perfect man, the fullness of Christ. We're not evolving, we're trying to become Christ. That's what we're trying to do. He goes on, that henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the wickedness of men, by cunning craftiness, by which they lie in wait to deceive, but doing the truth in charity, we may in all things grow up in Him who is the head, even Christ. No evolution, but conformity to Christ. Growing to full stature, full maturity in Christ. That's our goal. We don't evolve. We become Christ. Holy Mother St. Teresa believed this and conformed herself so perfectly to Jesus that one day the child Jesus himself came to her and asked her her name, to which she replied, "I am Teresa of Jesus. What is your name?" He responded, "I am Jesus of Teresa." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.